The Creak on the Stairs, written by Eva Björk Ægisdóttir and read by Di Croft.
She hears him long before she sees him. Hears the creaking as he climbs the stairs one cautious step at a time. He tries to tread softly as he doesn't want to wake anyone. Not yet. If it was her climbing the stairs late at night, she would make it all the way up to the top without anyone hearing a thing. But he can't do it. He doesn't know them like she does. Doesn't know where best to tread. She shuts her eyes, clenching them so tight that the muscles around them ache, and she takes deep, slow breaths, hoping he won't be able to hear how fast her heart is beating. Because a heart only beats that fast when you're awake. Awake and terribly afraid. She remembers the time her father had her listen to his heart. He must have run up and down the stairs 1,000 times before he'd stopped and called her over. "Listen," he'd said. "Listen to how fast my heart's beating. That's because our bodies need more oxygen when we move, and it's our heart's job to provide it." But now, although she's lying perfectly still, her heart is pounding much faster than her father's was then. He's getting closer. She recognizes the creaking of the last stair, just as she recognizes the rattling the roof makes when there's a gale blowing outside, or the squeaking of the door downstairs when her mother comes home. Tiny stars appear and float across her eyelids. They're not like the stars in the sky. Those hardly ever move, and you can only catch them at it if you watch them for a long time and you're very lucky. She's not lucky, though. She's never been lucky. She can sense him standing over her now, wheezing like an old man. The stink of cigarettes fills her nose. If she looked up, she would see those dark grey eyes staring down at her. Instinctively, she pulls the duvet a fraction higher over her face. But she can't hide. The tiny movement will have given her away. He'll know she's only pretending to be asleep. Not that it will make any difference. It's never made any difference. Elmar wasn't afraid, though the feeling was similar to fear. Sweaty palms, rapid heartbeat. She wasn't nervous either. She got nervous when she had to stand up and speak in front of people. Then the blood would rise into her skin, not only on her face, where she could disguise the flush with a thick layer of makeup, but on her neck and chest as well, where it formed unsightly red and white blotches. She'd been nervous that time she had gone out on a date with Stiner in year 10. A 15-year-old girl with a blotchy chest and far too much mascara who had tiptoed out of the house, praying that her parents wouldn't hear the front door closing behind her. She had waited for him to pick her up on the corner. He'd been sitting in the back of the car. He wasn't old enough to drive yet, but he had a friend who was. They'd not driven far and had barely exchanged a word when he leant over and stuck his tongue down her throat. She'd never kissed anyone before, but although his tongue felt very large and invasive, she hadn't drawn away. His friend had driven calmly around while they were kissing, though from time to time she'd caught him watching them in the rear-view mirror. She'd let Stina touch her through her clothes too, and pretended to enjoy it. They had been driving down the same road she was on now. Back then they had Lifehouse on the speakers, bass pounding from the boot. She shuddered at the memory. There were cracks in the pavement outside her parents' house. She parked the car and sat staring at them for a minute or two. Pictured them widening and deepening until her old Volvo was swallowed up.